Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everybody, it's Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we're going to talk about managing different kinds of employees.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start with a question from a new manager who discovers that one of her top employees is overworking by doing everybody else's work.
Oh.
Yeah. And then during the second segment, we'll discuss what to do when you realize that one of your staff is really a slacker.
Oh, these are both very interesting situations. Like the first case, the manager has to manage another person's tendency to overcompensate for mm-hmm. others. Second case, it's the other side of the problem where you have someone who is fine with others doing their work.
Yeah.
I hope our listeners will send more questions like these to info@mycrazyoffice.com.
All right, Logan, what's our question?
I've recently been hired in a senior management position. I oversee a staff of 18, and this is a newly created position. The team has not had a manager for 2 years. One of my senior staff is very talented and overworked. I've come to realize that she's been doing the work of other people who are not as competent or motivated. I promoted her, and now I'm trying to give work back to the people who should be doing it. I thought she would be thrilled. Instead, she's mad at me. What do I do?
Yeah, I would. We'd call her a martyr.
Yes, we would.
That's what the employee is called, and nobody really likes a martyr. they like her for a while, or him, but basically he or she thinks that their value is constantly being challenged. So they have to always be working, and they have to, and they don't like anyone else. They don't like delegating because they're afraid that that they're going to lose their seniority.
Right. Mm-hmm. Their value is only in terms of doing everyone else's work. Just doing their own job is not enough.
Right. And so they really don't like having other people. They don't like to share. They don't like to share workloads. So, you know, it's interesting. You may have found yourself in a situation where this person has trained the other staff, you know, very well, that she's going to pick up, it is a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's going to pick up the slack, that she's going to, you know, or, you know, another thing this person could be doing is she could be creating a, everything has to go through her, like a control.
Funnel.
Yeah. So she might be very controlling.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has to go through her. That way she has her hands on everything. And, you know, that's a bottleneck when everything has to go through one person.
Right.
So I'm not sure what they're doing right, but you've got to manage them differently.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is what you're bumping into is an emotional reaction to change where the fear is that she won't be needed.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, and I'm sure also, Kathy, with the martyr, that there's a fear of pissing other people off, the ones that you have been compensating for, because they've got a good ride on her watch. So I would imagine she's afraid, too, that they'd be mad at her, the people who now have to do their jobs.
Oh, I think she also probably thinks they're going to fail. Like, they're not competent enough. I had to do their work anyway. They're just not that good.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
I think the first thing is that you really have to manage this person and let them know that what they've done is, you know, it's beyond them.
Yeah.
That it's really had a negative effect on the whole team, and that you're going to need her to trust you.
Uh-huh.
And follow along in this process. Now, she may have to get her own kind of support outside of the office, because I think this is a behavior that doesn't change when your boss says it's got to change. Like, you have to really work on it.
Yeah, it's almost like a compulsion.
Yeah.
Like, the fear is so strong, one would feel so anxious in not doing everyone else's work that you might just do it anyway, take it back, take the work back.
I mean, have you ever seen anyone get cured of being a martyr? Because I don't think I have.
I've seen some improvement. I mean, it's a tough one to break, but a tough habit to break. What I was thinking is, in this case, perhaps at least you could say, you know, I know this may be uncomfortable, like recognize mm-hmm. this may be uncomfortable for you, but I need you for bigger things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, that may not address the emotional fear they have about it, but I think at least you could be informing them that your value is in focusing on bigger things.
Well, I think mm-hmm. you also should reward every time they actually do allow someone else to do their job. Mm-hmm. I think you should, you know, reward them so that they know that that was a positive, you know, that that was a good thing.
Yeah.
But just to the manager, I'm talking to the manager now, this is not going to be easy. So I think you probably need a little support in how to handle meetings going forward with this person.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to micromanage this until they're able to let other people do their jobs or you manage them out. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I would like to hear back from you, but this is not an easy thing to break. And if any listeners are out there are martyrs,
you don't have to know who you are.
You don't have to stand up and raise your hand. There's no audience here. But if you have some inkling, oh, that's me. You know, I do that. You really want to think about this. And it's in Working With You Is Killing Me where we talk about the martyr. And, you know, you may think people like you because you help them out, but the truth is they really want to do their own job.
Yeah, well, except for the slackers, which we'll get to a little later.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get to the slackers. The slackers will always feed off of anybody they can.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
in general, if you've got, you know, you're holding people back.
Disempowering them. Yeah. I think that's the big thing. That if someone works with a martyr, they feel all the time that you're taking the wind out of their sails. They're never getting the opportunity to really perform at a high level because you keep, I think of it like a food plate. Like you have all the food on your plate. You're not willing to share some of the portions.
What a pig.
I wonder if that's how this individual feels, though. I mean, not being thrilled that she is no longer doing everybody's job. Her plate got smaller.
Yeah. Exactly. Things were taken off of her plate.
And that's scary.
That's scary.
She doesn't know if she's going to be valued.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a control issue. I would seek some professional help on that. I think... Because it's not an easy thing to break. It's not just something you go, oh, I didn't know, and then you break it. No, it goes a little deeper than that.
So you're saying if you identify as a martyr, get some help.
You can get executive coaching or therapy.
Yeah.
Or read about it and Working With You Is Killing Me. I just want to start getting some knowledge about the martyr.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and to realize that you probably do take pride in doing a great job. You probably do want to be helpful. But underneath that is actually low self-esteem. And that's what kind of drives this, that you don't actually think you're that great. You're terrified that if you weren't an overperformer, if you didn't do everyone else's work, you're worth nothing.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit extreme. You may feel a little extreme inside.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so it's not an easy one. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And if you have any thoughts on this topic, tweet us at AskK2 and follow us on Instagram. We have a really good Instagram, My Crazy Office.
Yes, we do. And if you want to get onto our email list as well, please text us at 228-28 and type in My Crazy Office. That's 228-28 at My Crazy Office. And we'll be right back after the break.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. We're going to pick up where we left off, not so much with the martyr, but talking about what happens when you discover that you're managing a slacker.
Oh.
Yeah, so the slacker is the person who really doesn't like to do their job. They pass it off to everybody else.
Yeah.
And gets away with it because maybe they're very charming.
Yes.
They're good at something.
Yes.
That, you know, enables them to keep the job. Mm-hmm. But you have to, as a manager, you've got to look at the people that are picking up the slack and address them also, because this person may be very charming and gets others to do their work.
How do you think you can identify a slacker? Because it's a tricky thing. If you get everyone to do your work, it may be hard to determine that this person isn't doing work. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you know they're not doing work. They're on the phone. They're
planning a party for the office.
They're shopping online. They're doing all kinds of things, but their work.
Yeah.
And when you say, can I have that report or can I have that information? They look to somebody else and say, oh, so-and-so's going to get it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that. You can't really hide it, I don't think. I think it's kind of obvious.
Yeah. Is this the person who says to you, you need to relax, it looks like you're stressed out? Like, are they so relaxed that they're telling other people they should calm
down?
Some
of them. I think there's two kinds. I think there's the guilt-ridden ones that know, and they are trying to cover up and get sneaky, and they don't want you to know. And then there are the ones that think it's just totally okay. Maybe they were just very spoiled at home, and they think everybody wants to do their work. I don't know. I think they come in those two varieties. Uh-huh. So, but I think once you identify it, you've got to get on this person with what is their workload, what are the expectations, and you have to manage it and watch who's doing the work and really stay on top of it.
So it sounds like the first thing you would need to do is really define what they should be doing, their job responsibilities and their deliverables, what they should be bringing to you finished or bringing to the team finished, and then somehow creating an accountability system for them.
Right. They need to bring to you, whether it's 2 days or 3 days or a week later, the results, and only from you, not from somebody else. So you have to really get on top of it and really stay on top of it. So what happens is they either start looking for another job or they get better. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want.
Yeah.
You want one or the other.
I think this is so interesting because, as you were mentioning, one thing that usually slackers are, they are usually quite charming.
Yeah.
And
that's how they get others to do their work. I mean, if they're not charming, no one's going to do their work.
Right. Right. So they may also try to charm you, right? Even once you've laid out here the expectations, here the deliverables, and you say, have you got that ready for me? And they'll be like, oh, I'm still working on it,
Right.
Yeah. You have to kind of keep pushing, I would imagine.
Right. And this may not be that bad. Like you may know, okay, this person is, a bit of a slacker, but we really like them. They bring up morale and nobody really, you have to really weigh it.
Yeah.
Right. Because everybody's got a good side and a bad side, and you have to weigh who works on your team. So it really depends on the situation, but usually slackers burn bridges. I mean, ultimately people get pissed off that they don't do their job. And then they wonder, why are they here?
Yeah.
And why are they making the same amount of money or more than me?
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, Logan, have you worked with a slacker? Does anyone come to mind for you?
I haven't worked with one, but I saw it a ton throughout college and high school. They're usually the ones that pay other people to do their homework or that cheat on their test or that sweet talk the teachers to give them extra time on a project.
Yeah.
So I've definitely seen...
You've seen it.
Yeah, and then they have to go to work, these people, so they end up doing the same thing.
Exactly.
And some of them can move up a ladder, and they can't get too high by being a slacker, but they can get...
They're smoozers.
Yeah. Now, I've seen a lot of them in sales, because I came from sales, and they would, only pull in a sale when they had to, when somebody was breathing down their back. But the rest of the time, they were out there having a good time, which could look like they're selling. but it wasn't necessarily. So,
yes.
But you find them in every field, everywhere. I mean, how many times do you go to a retail store, or you go to a doctor's office, or wherever you go, and there's a slacker? That you're waiting on, you know? And what are you going to say? You don't want to piss them off. So there's a lot of slackers out there. And sometimes they're just disengaged from their job.
Right.
But sometimes they are more good time oriented.
Yeah. So as a manager, you really have to be willing to spot it and address it. And you're saying also weigh and measure how important is this person.
I just thought of another thing. So I'm thinking of a particular client. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people become slackers because they're not actually that good at their job. They either have a learning curve that they're struggling with, or you are demanding something that's out of their scope.
Yeah.
So you really have to assess it. You know, is it possible that, you know, you're not putting any pressure on them and they're not growing and right. they're not learning because it's just a little too challenging.
Right.
You could break that down, make it easier. You could have them take a class. There's a lot of ways to help people learn, but people learn at different.
It's
different
so interesting.
Speeds. You know, some people mm-hmm. are slow learners. That doesn't mean they're not good when they learn it.
Right,
it just
right.
means that's their process. Some people are fast learners.
Right. I think some people even have learning disabilities that they don't.
Absolutely.
You know, then they may not fully understand themselves, but because they've gotten so good at getting everyone else to do their job, they never confront those mm-hmm. limitations.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, and I hear from many people that their jobs have gone more to administrative, more, you know, I'm constantly on a computer or I'm mm-hmm. constantly on the phone mm-hmm. rather than having actual touch with the client.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been moved away from that. So they may not even like the work that they're doing anymore. So they tend to not do it very fast.
Or with pleasure.
Right.
Yeah.
So you really have to think it through. What is this about? You know, was this person not a slacker and then they became a slacker? There could be something underneath it. You look exhausted from this.
It does exhaust me. And I'm thinking of a client we have who basically manages or did manage, he was able to let one go, but two slackers. Mm. And it's so frustrating for him because the company promoted one of them, I do believe, at some point. And it's, you know, that somehow the culture is such that it's okay.
Yeah.
Just to float, you know, and not do your job. And so this can be really hard as a manager if you don't feel like you have the power to hold someone accountable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking. That's what
I think that's true. And mm-hmm. yeah, but you do have to weigh many factors. I mean, part of the problem with managing and why so many people find it very difficult mm-hmm. is you're not managing a machine or a robot. You're managing people.
Right.
And people are complicated and they mm-hmm. come to work with all kinds of issues, whether it's health or family issues, or they're at different stages of life dealing with different things. I mean, so it's complicated.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of thought.
Yeah.
So send us more questions.
Yes.
And if you have too many slackers, just request a different employee altogether.
Some more resources. Something's definitely wrong.
So that's it for this My Crazy Office. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories to AskK2. Follow us on Instagram. Review us on iTunes. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.